Hello and welcome to The Rufus Project, your fortnightly guide to whatever is grabbing our attention at the time. I am your host, Trevor Holland, and unfortunately, I will not be joined by my good friend, co-host, and king of cult cinema in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher, this week, because he's a bit tied up doing all that fun movie stuff. Trust me, you want him doing that stuff, it's awesome. So I thought I'd take this opportunity to put together a special report on some very recent developments in the fight against piracy within Australia. It's big times, guys. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. Of course, I'll also let you know all about our upcoming Redeeming Features cast at the end of this podcast. Also, just want to apologise for the slight drop in audio quality this time around. A bit stuck due to a broken down laptop where I'm waiting for a part to repair it. In the meantime, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Wow, it's been a pretty amazing time when it comes to copyright enforcement and what's happening here in Australia. Quite a few things seem to be ending, but new things are starting, and I guess it's time to have a look at what's going on and what the impact may well be for Australians who continue to download. As many may well be aware, Dallas Buyers Club LLC has been attempting to get the usernames of IONET users who downloaded the Dallas Buyers Club movie. Well, we say they have been trying. It went for like a year and a half. They originally went through the discovery process, got the okay to get the names, but the judge didn't entirely trust them because these are the same guys who have been known to send out demands for massive amounts of money to avoid legal action in other countries. So the judge said, hey, you give us a copy of the letter and show us what you're going to ask, and then we'll decide whether or not we will give you those names. Dallas Buyers Club came back with a completely unreasonable and ridiculous letter that didn't even specify what they were after. The judge said, no, you can only ask for a reasonable cost for the movie and a share of your legal fees. And we're going to make sure that before you send anything out, you're going to have to pay a $600,000 bond to the Australian court system before you send a single letter. Dallas Buyers Club went away again, came back a bit later and said, hey, can we send the same letter, but just to 10% of the people who wanted to send it to in the first place, and only pay $60,000? The judge said no to that, and at that point had pretty much had enough, which led to him basically saying the court case is pretty much over because you have no interest in doing the right thing, and you have until February 11 in which to come forward if you want to lodge an appeal for the case to continue. Anyway, come to the eve of that day, and Dallas Buyers Club LLC announced to the world that they were throwing in the towel and not pursuing any further action in Australia. Now, there was much rejoicing, and a lot of people are saying it's a victory for the pirates. And that's the first thing that I really want to come back on, because yes, it's great that the Australian courts would not allow these guys to do the same sort of extortion tactics they did overseas. There's even people in the US trying to stop this sort of action from happening. But don't forget, they went through the correct process and they got the all clear in order to get users' details. There is a precedent there now. If somebody else comes through with a similar sort of discovery request and decides to actually pursue people using a reasonable letter, then yes, Australians could be targeted by people seeking restitution for downloaded movies. But that's still not the end of the story. Barely had the dust settled on this court case when Village Roadshow popped up and said, hey, remember the site-blocking legislation that was passed by the Australian government last year? We're going to try to use it now. They've announced that they're taking action against a website known as Solar Movie. Not a big name out there when it comes to the pirates of the world. Apparently it's one that lets you stream stuff direct from the web, linking to streaming content. I actually never knew it existed, so Village Roadshow's just brought more attention to the site they intend to block, but that's It's beside the point they're trying to make, but it absolutely adds to the point that I'm going to make. Don't worry, though. The big honcho out there, the Pirate Bay, is still in the sights of Foxtel, who are launching their own attempt to use the site-blocking legislation to get these sites blocked by Australians. Now, in discussions of this, it became clear that the Village Roadshow guys, at least, want to use DNS blocking in order to stop Australians accessing the site. What that means is that ISPs will put a filter on at their end. What you do is when you connect to the net, most of the time, you're automatically directed to your internet provider's DNS servers. So if that DNS server says, nope, you can't visit this site, you will be blocked. Trouble is, because of things like metadata retention being introduced in Australia and the whole Dallas Buyers Club thing, it does link, many, many Australians are now behind VPN servers or using smart DNS servers in order to access overseas content and protect their privacy. So none of these guys are actually using their internet provider's DNS servers. So right from the outset, the pirates are not going to care. They're not even going to notice a difference. So, good luck, Village Roadshow and Foxtel. I am sure you are going to get your site blocking in place. However, it's not really going to make any difference. And finally, on a related note, you may remember quite some time ago, the internet providers and the copyright holders came to an agreement over a three strikes rule in Australia. Well, they came to an agreement, but there was a sticking point over the cost. And funnily enough, they stopped talking about the three strikes policy when the Dallas Buyers Club case started. Well, now that that's over, now that they are now going to test the site blocking laws, the content providers have decided that they are going to withdraw from the discussions over the three strikes policy within Australia. Again, there's many people saying, woohoo, yay for the pirates, we win again, but that's not the case. I refer again to the fact that, yes, companies can get the details of downloaders in Australia if they just do the right thing and follow the right rules. Secondly, we are going to get site blocking in Australia. There is no way to avoid it. And perhaps most importantly, what these recent actions are showing is that these copyright holders have got no intention of backing down on their policy to try to stamp out copyright infringement. I hate to be the one to break the news, but these recent decisions are not a win for Australian pirates. It's just another step in the copyright holders' efforts to control what we download and where we access material. Despite Netflix's surge in popularity in Australia, despite Stan getting a very, very solid foothold, despite Presto even finally starting to make an impact on the Australian streaming market, I'm afraid that these guys still don't realise that content, price and availability is the key to making sure that you get and keep paying customers. And at the end of the day, these guys have made it harder to catch people who engage in a bit of casual copyright infringement, because they're the ones who have pushed people to take on VPN services, have pushed people to find alternative ways of obtaining material that doesn't involve advertising your IP address to the world. I think it's time that content creators had a look at these people that are trying to protect them and tell them that they are the problem. Piracy is pushed up through the actions of the copyright. Piracy is driven by the actions of the copyright holders, who are different to the content creators. Let's not forget that. Who are desperate to protect their own middle management position. I wish there was a nice way I could round this up and give a nice, glowy, happy-feely thing, but the fact is, I can't. Until these copyright holders realise that they're doing more harm than good to their own business, we're going to have to keep putting up with all this other ancillary rubbish. Thank you so much for listening to the Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. And if you have any suggestions, requests, feedback, whatever, please let us know. You can get in touch with us through therufusproject@gmail.com. You can head to our homepage, rufusproject.com, and leave a comment below this very episode, or you can find us on Twitter or Facebook and chat with us there. We would love to hear from you. Now, don't worry, this is a one-off of just Trev all by himself. Next week, we will be back with the Redeeming Features cast, where Christian and I subjected ourselves to Blood Rain, the Third Reich. Yeah, we had to finish the trilogy. We've done it now, and here's a little something to let you know what we put up with.
The assault on the train. It happened in daylight.
Good. She's the best I've ever seen.
Kill her!
The Germans are growing stronger.
I can make Hitler immortal.
He's not just a vampire ring. Now he's a vampire with an entire German army behind him.
My, doesn't that sound exciting? Do you think it's the movie that can finally redeem Blood Rain? Well, you'll have to wait till next episode to find out. If you want to find some decent entertainment in the meantime, also keep an eye on christianfletcher.com or head to Christian Fletcher Events on Facebook to find out all about the great stuff he's got planned before you hear him again next week. Now, the moral of this episode is, why do the copyright holders keep beating their heads against the wall? Actually, maybe that explains why they can't learn. Ah, well, see you next time.